This podcast is part of the Gun and Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not reflect those of other podcasts or affiliates of the show or Gun and Geek. Check out other geeky podcasts at gunandgeeknetwork.com. Get ready because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance level 10. Stand by for shield debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents of equal or higher security clearance.
And now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 43, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 1, Shadows. This podcast episode is recorded on Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the television show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the general Marvel Universe.
Because why not start the season off with a big load of heartbreak?
If you want to contact us, you can find all of our information on our website at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr by searching for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we have forums available at forums.gunnageek.com, or you can search for Gunna Geek on the Tapatalk app.
Without the space, I've learned too, by the way. It's all one word, Gunna Geek. We had a great week. First, hang on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get to the episode in a second. We are giving away a S.H.I.E.L.D. t-shirt. Yes, it's a large t-shirt with a S.H.I.E.L.D. logo on it. And we're asking you to call us and tell us, now just we'll get to the whole Fitz thing in a second, but what would Fitz do with a monkey?
Put a Simmons wig on it?
Yeah.
Oh, too soon.
Okay, so it's stuff like that. Just call in. Haley can give you a bunch.
Don't call in with that one.
Yeah, we're running this until October 8th, so get your voicemails in, and we will send you the t-shirt. Okay, we had a couple of hitbacks on Twitter this past week. The Operator CC'd us on a tweet, which was basically a lot of the scene in the warehouse where they were making the exchange for the 084 folder at the beginning. And then Mr. Pericletes responded, and he says, I wonder who the Kevlar man there is. Well, we found out, so we won't answer that. But thank you guys for the tweets. And also on our Facebook page, Agent Haley did indeed post her awesome wall art. Now I'm thinking, oh, it's just going to be, you know, ho-hum. It is awesome, Haley. Where'd you get all that stuff?
There was a website. I think it was called Asgard Press. They put out these calendars every year that have classic covers as the thing for each month, but they're nice and perforated, so they come apart really easily, and they're frameable, and they're awesome. So I got the 2009 to 2013 or whatever set last year for Christmas, and it was $50 for the whole thing. It's pretty awesome. I've still got probably 100 more that I haven't framed.
You need to go to Facebook, check out the pictures that Haley has posted there. It is amazing. We also got a voicemail right after the episode. You ladies ready to listen to it? Are you sure?
Ready.
It's spoilers for the episode, so are you sure?
Very ready.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Hey, agents. This is Adam. Just calling with some early thoughts on the season premiere. I thought it was a good return. You got to see... Well, we thought we got to see all the main characters. Didn't actually see Simmons, which was a nice twist that I didn't see coming. I do like how they're setting up the Absorbing Man as a pretty good-sized threat, though I think him picking up that piece of wood and absorbing those characteristics was just to make people think of Groot and go to Guardians of the Galaxy again. I think they did some nice tricks with his abilities, like with the glass in the prison cell. So, can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later.
Now, hold on. We're going to talk about the whole Fitz and things later, so don't get there yet. But he said wood. Hey, Adam, thank you very much for the voicemail. We will get to what we think in a second. I just want to tell everybody, our voicemail line is open. It's 844-THE-BUS-1. Call us. We've asked for your Marvel top five characters. We want your feedback on the episode or this podcast, and we'll play it again next week. I promise we will. We want your science questions. We want to know why Wing is wrong. I mean, we all know why Wing is wrong, but we want your stories on why Wing is wrong. We want you, and by Wing, I'm talking about that guy that's over on Legends Podcast. So go to Legends Podcast, listen to all their stuff, and just any episode, pick an episode, any 5 minutes, you'll find a reason why Wing is wrong. Okay. What you like to see is the untitled 2018 Fox-produced Marvel-based comic movie. What do you want as that title? People from Fox are listening. Then your voice will be heard. And then we even asked Agent Coulson, and he hasn't responded yet, but what kind of sport do you think he would have played in high school? So that's all open right now, and we want to hear you. Haley, did we get some ratings for the episode last night?
Yeah, a few people watched it. We're looking at 5.98 million viewers for the opening episode, which is on par with some of the better episodes of last season. So we're off to a pretty solid start. It's nothing like the premiere of last season, but that wasn't really to be expected.
They got schwacked by NCIS. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, my coworkers, they were all like, did you see NCIS? No, I was watching S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Watch it. All right. We have a running tally on Guardians of the Galaxy, and we have some numbers this week, don't we, Lauren?
Yes, we do. Domestic, they're up to 314.5 million. Worldwide, they are up to 633.1 million. You may remember, as we've mentioned, that their production budget was 170 million. And just, you know, little minor detail. The MCU total has made, oh, I don't know, $7 billion or thereabouts since Iron Man came out. You know, no big.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's news? I mean, okay. Yeah. It is news. And it's incredible. They've 10 movies. It's made $7 billion. That's close to, but not quite, but it's close to an average of $1 billion per movie, or $700 million.
$700 million per
movie. That is incredible. That is, wow, for 10 movies. And it's not
slow. That's got to be like more than the per capita money that most countries make. Because most countries in the world are, you know, small.
Their gross national product.
That's the word I was looking for, yes.
I know. And it's just like, oh, yeah, they made $7 billion. And it's like, haven't they made like 20 or 30 billion? But, ah.
Give it time.
Yeah, Disney could use all this Marvel money to buy two Star Wars. Two Star Warses.
Yes. It's amazing. It's great. Guardians is part of it, and Guardians has not slowed down. Well, I mean, it slowed down, but it hasn't opened in China yet, so it's amazing. And it was six in the box office this weekend. I think it's reached its tail here domestically. Still made about $5 billion. I'm loose with the money tonight, aren't I? Thousand for billion, whatever. Okay. So it made...
See, if you're just throwing around zeros like that, can I get in on that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My checkbook just doesn't keep up with my mouth sometimes. What was the Top Gun quote? Your mouth is making checks, your money can't cash or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Your mouth is writing checks. That's probably not right. Your wallet can't cash. Something like that.
Your body can't cash.
Something.
I was intentionally trying to be funny.
Yeah, that's what you were doing, is being funny.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I can quote the entire thing. As a matter of fact, I know the first line of Top Gun.
Danger Zone!
Well, no. That's the song, but the first actual line is Good Morning, Scott. So think about how I remember that all the time. Okay. Anyway, it made $5 million this past weekend, which is nothing to snuff at, especially in a slow box office time. And it's opening in China in a couple of weeks. It is easily going to get over $700 million. So it's going to beat the Marvel average so far. It's amazing.
And think of it this way. The fact that it's coming to like its tail end of its run means that it's out on DVD sooner.
Yay!
By the way, on Tuesday, hours before the season premiere, I finally got my Blu-ray set of season one in the mail. Like, okay, what's this? And everybody's like, oh, we can watch it. I'm like, I can't. I gotta watch the episode tonight. So,
well, that's what weekends are for.
Yeah, yeah. Weekends are for a lot, actually. I've got
weekends
a lot
are for marathoning TV shows.
I've got a lot of I've got a lot of that going on. Matter of fact, I was being chastised over not ever watching Farscape this week on Twitter.
You haven't watched Farscape?
You ladies have to remember, there was a period of my time in between school and after my divorce that I did not get to watch any. I didn't have cable back then, so I didn't have.
Yeah, neither did I. I downloaded it.
You downloaded it? It was before the internet was capable of downloading this stuff.
No, this was while Farscape was still running. I was in college when it was wrapping up. Lonnie Tupu and Virginia Hay were at the first convention I ever went to, and they watched the final episode as it aired at my college.
I did watch the final episode of Star Trek The Next Generation while I was in college. So there.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. And that was really the conclusion of my sci-fi viewing until, on TV anyway, until after, because Sliders was in there. I didn't watch that. There was a whole bunch of stuff. But I have Farscape. People, please, if you want to call in and chastise me, that's fine. But I have the DVD set. I bought them. I have all the movies too. The, what is it called? The Peacekeeper Wars?
Peacekeeper Wars. Okay. And there's comics, and the comics are good, and I have them all. But you don't, I guess, necessarily have to read them. And they are working on another movie script, so I'm very happy. This was confirmed. This was confirmed like a few months ago. I'm amazingly happy.
Listen to Legends podcast, Haley?
Yeah, I don't remember hearing about that, though.
Yeah, they talked about it for a few weeks. And it was also talked about on the Gonna Geek main podcast.
Oh,
but
I did listen. I was listening actually today to the last couple of news episodes. And Operator was talking about when he went to watch Avengers, and he's like, the first time I went, and they were all gaga over Chris Hemsworth, and then the next time I went, they were all gaga over Chris Evans. Which one is it? And I was like, both.
Both.
Yes, that is the correct answer. Both.
Yeah,
yes.
But his point was...
The answer is both, either.
His point was, all the women in one theater were gaga over one guy, and all the women in another theater were gaga over the other, and he just didn't understand, because in his mind, it is both. He knows where the beefcake is.
It's right next to him,
the
right?
The answer in Avengers is everywhere. Oh, God. I was going to say that Avengers is just like the confluence of very pretty people. I will continue to call the Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner beatdown the Battle of the Fantastic Asses, because it is.
Well, yeah, and without the Avengers, we would never have gotten to Captain America 2, and we would never have seen Agent 13. So I thank Avengers very much for that. You go, Emily Van Camp, who will never, ever listen to this podcast, but you go. All right, we got a couple other things to sew up here. Got some news. Episode names, the fourth episode. I thought we had the fourth episode name last
year.
The
fourth episode name is question mark.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They haven't given us the episode name for the fourth one yet, but the fifth one is titled A Hen in the Wolf House, and that's where we're going to see Mockingbird for the first time.
Yes.
Interesting, interesting. All right, so who exactly is Speedball here?
Speedball was a member of the New Warriors in the comics, and he was instrumental in Civil War and some stuff that happened there. But anyway, but more importantly, possibly, this is all just rumors, I was checking Oh No They Didn't, and a member of Oh No They Didn't, Shazammy, a tweet by an actor known for being very involved in the Whedonverse was just sent to me, and by the time I was able to respond, the tweet was deleted. Thank God for screen caps. Fran Kranz, who you might know from Much Ado About Nothing, Dollhouse, Cabin in the Woods, his tweet reads, it's from 2:52 p.m., September 24th, 2014. It reads, Mockingbird, Robbie Baldwin, S.H.I.E.L.D., soon. Robbie Baldwin is the non-superhero name of Speedball. So, yes, please. I like Speedball. I like Fran Kranz. Yes, please.
I love Fran Kranz.
It'll be exciting to see. I didn't know who Speedball was until you guys started talking about him, so that is awesome.
Yeah, he accidentally caused, or not really caused, there was some supervillains there, the explosion that kind of was responsible for people demanding that superheroes be registered at the beginning of Civil War, and he took it really hard and he changed his name to Penance for a while and wore this basically like an Iron Maiden suit. I don't know. It was really weird, but now he's back to being Speedball, and in, what was it, Avengers Academy? he was one of their instructors for a while because he had the experience of being a teenage superhero.
Well, do you think this closes the door on Marvel MCU since it's all connected? Hashtag it's all connected. You think this closes the door to the fact that we are not going to see the Civil War in the MCU anytime soon?
It's a really complicated storyline. I don't know if they'd want to do it.
And I think by bringing out a character that seems to be instrumental in it, I don't know, you guys tell me, but I think if you're bringing out that character in an unrelated fashion, then you might not get it.
There's the opportunity for some really good in-jokes there, I think.
Good. So who is this SSR chief, Roger Dooley?
I don't know who he is, but he's going to be played by Shea Whigham.
Yay! Shea Whigham is another Boardwalk Empire alum. This is the third one that's been cast in the MCU so far. He plays on Boardwalk Empire Steve Buscemi's younger brother. So, and he's been pretty solid in everything I've ever seen him in. So this will be interesting.
Awesome. Remember a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about the television show, I think it was on ABC too, I can't remember, but the Friday Night Lights and the fact that all the kid characters from that were going to be coming out and doing some amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got an example right here, don't we?
Mm-hmm. First look at Bobby Morse, aka Mockingbird. On several websites, the one that we're linking to is comicbookmovie.com. You can see the first look of Adrian Palicki in costume as Bobby Morse.
Yummy.
And a little bit of information on her character. First of all, she's not blonde, which is, you know, she's blonde in the comics. It's odd, but whatever. Brunette's a good look for her. The uniform looks absolutely nothing like Mockingbird's, which is to be expected because she's worn some weird outfits in the comic. But to be honest, I was kind of expecting shades of blue. But this is red. This is very decidedly red. Again, it looks good on her.
Not necessarily sure it's 100% a uniform.
Well, apparently, according to Entertainment Weekly, Bobby Morse will actually be the head of Hydra Security, which is a bit of a change. So I'm guessing, as a lot of people are guessing, that we'll see her switch sides at some point.
And this is the episode titled A Hen in the Wolf House, yeah, which makes me think she's an undercover agent.
Could be.
As S.H.I.E.L.D. was shutting down and Hydra was recruiting whatever was left of it, she was like, oh yeah, I'm totally Hydra, dude.
Let's catch some waves.
Yeah. Well, she was on the West Coast Avengers.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome to see her on the screen again.
Yeah, I can't wait. I really love Mockingbird, and I want to see what they do with her.
You know what? As much as I like Friday Night Lights, this is kind of laughable, I have not seen the last five episodes. I need to do that. I have them. I need to watch
them. I've never watched it. I know Meth Damon from Breaking Bad was in it, and Gambit was in it, and obviously now Mockingbird is in it, but
it's actually a great show. I might rewatch the whole thing here shortly after Farscape and everything else I need to watch, like Buffy and stuff like
that. Yay!
So, yeah. So that's pretty cool. Another guy who has so much going on, he doesn't want his own movie. What's up with that?
Okay, yeah. Related to Mockingbird, considering that he plays the character who is Mockingbird's ex-husband in the comics, Jeremy Renner does not think Hawkeye deserves his own movie. On Cinema Blend, there was talking about an interview with him that he did during his press for his new movie, Kill the Messenger. And he sat down and talked and he said, I'm happy to be the ensemble. I'm not scratching or clawing to do a solo movie by any means. I think he's a utility guy that can bounce around into other people's universes a little bit, especially like Cap 3. So first of all, does that mean we're seeing him in Cap 3? And second of all, he needs to read Matt Fraction's run on Hawkeye, because that would be just amazing if we saw, maybe not a movie of that, but if they did those as the little Marvel one-shots, so you just see Hawkeye getting into everyday shenanigans.
We haven't seen a one-shot in a while.
No, we haven't.
No, they didn't release one with Captain America 2 because they didn't have anybody left. They were so busy, and I ranted and raved about that when they announced it. I'm like, really? You don't have anybody on staff that could do anything? Because, and this was my point, that the MCU or Marvel Studios in general might be getting a little bit too busy because they have all those Netflix series, the four that are in production right now. They have two television series, and they've got all the movies that are happening, you know, 2 a year for a while. So have they really peanut butter spread themselves too thin? And
like butter scraped over too much bread?
It could be.
Happy belated Hobbit Day, by the way.
Yeah.
But no, if they just did like an adaptation of Hawkeye number one, where it's him saving a dog, that was just a fantastic comic. And I think it would be a cute little 5-10 minute short.
You know, what the Marvel Universe could probably need to do here is they need to bolster this guy up because, okay, he's a very capable guy, but he's a laughing joke in all the redone movies and the How It Should Ended and stuff like that.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. So it's like, maybe that's what he's hinting at. It's like, I need some a little bit more legitimacy to what I'm doing before I go ahead with my own movie. And he very well might just want to last longer in the universe too. Cause look at Robert Downey Jr. I mean, how many more movies does that guy have in him? Jeremy Renner might actually want to be around for 10, 12 years, something like that. But regardless of how long he's going to be around or not, the man knows how to wear a joke.
Yeah, we've got a picture, IO9 is the source we're linking to, of Jeremy Renner wearing a Scarlett Johansson mask while dressed as Hawkeye. And it's just pretty fantastic.
Yeah, he tweeted it. When I first saw it, I thought it was Photoshopped. And I was like, ha ha, real cute. And then somebody's like, no, that's Scarlett Johansson's stunt double's Scarlett Johansson mask. And then I had to look again, and just the more you look at it, the weirder it is. Because she has this, the mask has this wistful, faraway look on its face, and it's Jeremy Renner's body with his hair sticking up behind her hair.
It is funny. And you know what? I was wondering where Loki was.
I think we found him.
All right. So last week was announced that we're going to get a Deadpool movie. But wait, not so fast.
Well, you remember when I was like, oh, I hope it's rated R. Mm. Well, according to the Meet the Movie Press podcast, the host revealed the following at around the 22-minute mark. I heard from the director that they finally figured out the script, and it was right before this was announced that they figured it out. And you guys are all going to hate this. They figured out how to make it PG-13 and therefore not lose its soul, and that a quote so that they can make it. I guess since PG-13 movies have been sliding towards the harder edge of things ever since Pencil Trick and Dark Knight Returns, or not Dark Knight Returns. Whichever the second
Dark Knight.
It's Dark Knight. Thank you.
Let me tell you something. I was watching Sci-Fi Channel, which is hard to do these days. It's hard to give them my loyalty, but I was watching them, and I was watching the opening episode of, actually, I think it was the second episode of Haven, which, you know, okay, you either like it or you don't, and I think I just watch it to pass the time, but they actually showed on screen somebody getting a pencil shoved into their eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's on TV. Yeah. I mean, well, so
they've been showing
cable though.
Yeah. Anybody who's been following my Twitter for a while knows that I was so wary of them showing Spartacus on Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
And they have done a much better job of editing that and not losing the feel of the show than I thought they would. All they really do is edit out the absolute worst of the swears, the lady nipples, and the dude junk. And they removed one reference to castration. And other than that, they have pretty much let everything fly. So it's, I guess, getting easier to do the kind of harder PG-13 movie.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see with
this Deadpool. They're going to have to win some people back.
The picture for the article that we're linking to is Deadpool slicing his way out of Godzilla. Or a Godzilla-like creature, probably legally distinct from Godzilla.
Similar, but legally distinct too.
Surrounded by guts. Actually, it would not be out of place in Sharknado. I'll admit it.
So, do you think this is a big, sexy lady?
What, Deadpool?
Come on, Doctor Who reference.
She's not there yet.
We mentioned it before, though. So, okay, sorry.
In the season 8 premiere of Doctor Who, the Doctor calls a T-Rex a big, sexy lady.
Oh, okay. I missed that part.
You missed it or you're not there yet?
No, I saw it, but the sound was off.
Well, he just doesn't say big sexy lady. He says big sexy lady. It's great. Okay.
It's a really good Scottish accent.
Yeah, which I can't do. So Haley, you went to college, right?
Yep.
And Lauren, you went to college, right?
Yep.
And I went to several colleges and I actually got degrees from most of them. Anyway, so when we were in college, the big question is, where the heck were these courses on comic book movies?
My grades would have been so much better if I could have taken those.
Yeah, like that one and the Tolkien class.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think I've heard of Firefly classes before. It's like, dude, we did not have those options.
No.
But the Gordon College of Arts and Sciences now has a class on the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
These are starting to pop up.
Jerks.
Yeah, I know. They're starting to pop up left and right. It's like, I want to
take... Yeah, Harry Potter analysis classes, and I listen regularly to the Tolkien professor, and he was teaching a class on the Silmarillion for a semester, and it was the best thing ever. And he put all his lectures up online, and it was amazing.
That'd be cool.
It was.
So go to the show notes, check out this link, see what college you need to apply to, and take this course. And we're almost there, folks. Don't worry. We're almost there. One more news story left, and it's basically all the cast interviews.
We're going to talk about each and every one in detail.
Right. So we'll lead to the episode in like an hour. Guys, just sit tight. Last week, we shared a couple of these. They had Ming-Na Wen and Nick Blood's interviews with Marvel about the upcoming season. Since then, they've put out interviews with Chloe Bennett, BJ Britt, Brett Dalton, Henry Simmons, Clark Gregg, Lucy Lawless, and Ian DeCostiger. You could read those yourself if you want, because we want to talk about the episode.
Yes,
yeah, we were just joking about talking about the whole interviews.
The links really are in the show notes. You
can read
go
it
read those. There's some gems in each and every one of them. But
yes,
season 2, episode 1, Shadows.
Finally!
Yes! Okay, so this is not as long as you have to wait for a season of Defiance or a season of Battlestar Galactica or The Sopranos or anything like that. But it's been a few hard months here just wanting to get at it with a universe that's all connected. That might explain why we're so wild about Guardians of the Galaxy, because it was new content for 5 weeks. But anyway, this was amazing. This is a great episode. And I'm going to get to it right away. I am, because we have to. Fitz, it was hard to watch.
Wait, I have a question for Lauren. How many times did you write science babies in caps lock in your notes?
I didn't actually write notes.
Oh, because I have science babies 4 times.
Okay. I tweeted, science babies, at least once. And then I know I was texting my friend that I usually text back and forth with when we watch the episodes. And I know I texted her at least once more. And then at the very end, I was actually in tears. I yelled. I was very upset.
It was so hard to watch. And I did I did not catch Adam. You're absolutely right, buddy. I did not catch it at all. And then on my second watch through, when I was actually taking notes.
Right?
Yeah, it's like, oh my. Because when May comes in to help with the analysis.
That look that she's giving him.
She's just talking. Well, I mean, he already knows he's damaged, but she's looking right at Fitz. And Simmons doesn't say anything.
Simmons doesn't say anything.
She never touches anything.
Yeah. He even tells her, don't touch anything.
And it's like, oh man, this is so wrong. And everybody is, they want him to contribute. They want him. It's hard for him. I can't speak for it, right? Because I've never been in that situation where I've had mental diminishing capability. But you're at the top of your game. You're literally revered by your peers. And then you can't even think of the word you need to say to describe it.
I can relate. I have some kind of neurological issues, not like this, but I have not had the best luck with medication, trying to find medication to control some of my health problems.
Medical marijuana. That's all I'm saying.
Well, according to some studies, that might help.
Okay.
But for a while there, they thought that I had epilepsy and they were trying me on a bunch of different anti-epileptics. And it turns out I do not react well to anti-epileptics. And some of side effects that I started to present with were my train of thought just stopping, basically. And it was not the same as this. But watching him, I could just absolutely relate to that feeling of just helplessness. And I was worried for my job at the time. And just knowing that you weren't where you're supposed to be. And I do know some people who have had traumatic brain injuries for one reason or other. And again, that was very hard to watch. I think they did a pretty good job with it.
This is like an officer and a gentleman, though. There is nowhere else for him to go. So they need to find a constructive way of how to get him to fit in with the team, or they need to learn how to fix him, which right now it's not a possibility. But maybe by the end of the season, we'll see. And the other thing, Simmons just left. I'm like, aw.
Yeah, it's like, where did she go? I mean, you know, she, I'm not, well.
I can't see her leaving him. That's the part, that the leap I couldn't make.
Well, the thing is, she thought she was helping him by leaving.
Yeah, and Coulson did mention that they did have some substantial contacts in London. So I assume that's where she's at. That's a lot of assumptions, because we don't know what's in London. We don't know who's there. We don't know anything. But that's kind of the tie-in that I was looking for, because they wouldn't have mentioned that particular thing if it had not tied into the universe somehow. They don't just throw that stuff around.
And we do know that, remember from last season, that she was kind of the one who's like, I don't know why I'm here. So I was thinking for a while there, well, would she stay with S.H.I.E.L.D. or not? Because on the one hand, she has been personally betrayed by Ward and Hydra, and they did this to Fitz and everything. But then on the other, I think it would be easier for her to leave S.H.I.E.L.D. behind than some of the others.
True. I'm just wondering how they're going to use her character. Are they going to use her exclusively in flashbacks, or are they actually going to bring her back physically? And maybe she left.
She's got to come back.
She has to come back.
She's the bio person, right? So maybe she left to try to design a cure for Fitz, too. And she couldn't be around Fitz while it was going around. So I don't know. We'll see. It was just very, and it's just going to be heartbreaking until.
And it's even worse the second time when you're watching it after you know what's happening, because you know that the way that she's talking is just a projection of how he himself is feeling. And the way that he's reacting to it is his impatience, but he knows that somewhere deep down that, yeah, he needs to be patient and take these things take time, and you don't just heal from this kind of thing overnight. And then at the same time, you see how upset and angry he is at that fact.
He's playing it amazingly well. It's coming through really cool. And I felt, I know we all three of us, we were like heartbroken over
it. The part where they're watching Koenig work and he's just kind of lurking in the doorway.
Yeah, I hope they're doing the voice recognition, the voice biometrics or whatever he was saying. Yeah. Yeah,
their conversation, especially when you take into account that he is on both sides of that conversation, making a head trauma joke, being mad at himself for making a head trauma joke.
He's got some stuff to work through. And Ward's been in the cell the whole time. He hasn't had to deal with Ward. When Ward comes out, it's going to be very interesting how he reacts.
Yeah, just that personal level of betrayal, because, I mean, he thought they were friends. He thought Ward would never hurt him. And now, not only did Ward betray them, Ward betrayed S.H.I.E.L.D., but Ward is the reason that he's...
Oh, he's directly the reason.
Injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like this. Took away who he was and who he was to the team.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to watch. And at the same time, I have faith here. I think it's going to end up in a better place, but it's hope at this point in time. At the beginning, I'm going to flip gears now. I'm going to get a little bit happier. At the beginning.
Okay. Yes, please.
Hayley Atwell.
Yes.
Oh, I love that scene. Oh, Agent Carter and the Howling Commandos.
That large was amazing. In charge. It was directly relating to the series that's going to start in a couple of months. It was basically, yes, we need a place. We need an organization that'll protect these things and we'll watch
make
over.
Make sure Howard Stark doesn't blow up the world.
Yeah, basically. Yes. Yeah, for the first time. Well, not for the first time, but you're really beginning to see how the Starks can really be asses in terms of doing stuff that is going to harm humanity. So whether they're benevolent about it or not. But so it'll be interesting what happens in Agent Carter. It was great.
Well, especially considering that I really hope they get Dominic Cooper to come back for Agent Carter.
Yes.
Because by the time that wraps up, we're going to be getting ready for Avengers 2, mm-hmm. which has Tony screwing things up kind of a little bit, sort of, with Ultron. So the pattern continues very visibly.
Do you think we might see, or would it be too early to see, a young Hank Pym in Agent Carter?
I hope so.
Yeah, didn't we talk about that last week or the week before?
We talked about maybe some reference in Avengers 2, but yeah, I would like to see that in Agent Carter.
Or maybe Jan Van Dyne.
Oh, yes. That'd be amazing.
That would be awesome. But would you want to roll out the character without a long-term plan?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, they're filming right now, so Ant-Man, I mean. So whatever they're planning to do with Janet Van Dyne, you know, would already be taken into account.
It wasn't just Haley, though. It was also Jim and Dum Dum. That was awesome.
Oh, and speaking of Howling Commandos, the General Jones.
Yeah.
I liked that. I was like, ha!
They threw that in there, didn't they?
Yep.
He's like, oh, yeah, I'm rocking this suit.
That was good.
Because he totally looks old enough to be a general.
Yeah, true. Okay. And they were totally in the Pentagon, too, let me tell you. Mm. Not, but okay. All right, I'll go
Maybe
with
it. Maybe it was the super secret ultra Pentagon that not even you know about.
It was the heptagon.
Fair enough. Okay, this gem thing or this object.
We can't move away from the military without talking about Adrian Pazdar's mustache.
Yes, his mustache is as formidable as ever.
I was going to get to it later.
Okay, well, I want to talk about it now because it doesn't look the same as it did last season, but it's equally as bad.
I'll tell you what, when Coulson was interrogating him, I mean, this was all planned, right? He's interrogating him, and he's like, there's no way in hell I'm going to help you. He's like, yeah, you're right. And he just pulls out the gun and shoots him. I'm like, yeah!
I laughed so hard. I mean, I know he's shooting him with the night-night gun, but still, it was fun.
It's great that they're using these night-night guns like stunners or tasers or whatever. It's awesome. And as a matter of fact,
very cathartic to watch him shoot him in the knee too.
I know.
It's very cathartic.
Then the dumb butt wakes up in the car and gives all his secure information and he's talking to Billy Koenig.
I loved that. Oh, Billy Koenig, isn't that weird? And then you think, oh, they're talking about that weird, you know, alien alphabet stuff that we've been talking about since forever. And then no, they're talking about the Koenigs. I maintain life model decoy.
I've got that written down. Trip totally knows he's an LMD.
I'm not sure if Scott and I were talking about this, and Scott's not sure that he's high enough security level to know about LMDs.
But he knows something's up. He's working on it.
Yes. And, oh, speaking of that little alien stuff, and this will lead us to talking about the obelisk. Did you see when Lucy Lawless grabbed, when Hartley grabbed it? I didn't notice this the first time. I noticed it on my second watch through. Right when she, I think like the second time that she said, I can't let go of it, you see it flare up on there.
You like shine a little bit?
You see that it comes out through as a embossing almost. It's that same sort of line circle, looks almost like a schematic.
Well, I have no idea what this object is. I mean, is there any history in the comic universe? Is it like an Infinity Stone or gem, or is this something entirely different?
I haven't been able to find anything on it, but...
Which would make sense because it's the original 084, but I don't know. Which is cool, by the way. Now we know...
Well, there's a lot of MacGuffins in the Marvel Universe. Yeah. It could be a lot of things, probably.
Well, it's the original 084, right? And we now know what 084 comes. It's just the number on the stinking box. It's just a category, right?
Yeah, now we know.
It's like, okay, here's the 84th object we found in this Hydra hideout. We'll call it an 084. And then it stuck because it was unknown. So that was pretty cool. I'm going to confess, I was looking at Agent Browning and I was like, dude, I know he was in season one. You know, I looked it up. He wasn't there. And I'm like, I know this guy. And I did. But it took these ladies to tell me he's been in a lot of stuff like Stargate. Yeah, that's it. He was a Stargate captain. But... you know, okay, I like the talent they're bringing in. I really do. These people like Lucy Lawless and everybody else, they come in, but they're burning these people left and right. It's like, oh, can they just hang on to somebody?
Well, do you think Lucy Lawless is dead?
Yes, I do.
I am going to be so pissed off if they brought her in just to fridge her so that they could get Lance Hunter to join the team. Ugh.
See?
Well, if she's not dead, can you think of any major characters that have a robot hand?
Yes, many. Misty Knight, but she's obviously not Misty Knight.
I mean, she's already in the universe as Agent Hartley.
Right, but they could mirror somebody else's storyline over onto her.
Yeah, they could.
Just the name is different.
Okay. I was pretty sure she was dead, and I was pretty sure the other guy was dead, too, in the backseat.
Well, yeah, the other guy is definitely dead, because... I can't even remember his name. I wrote it down. I don't remember it.
I was wondering why.
Idaho.
Here's the thing that I had an issue with. So Idaho cuts off her hand to save her.
No.
Hunter.
Okay. Yeah, it is Hunter. Okay. Hunter cuts off her hand.
Which, by the way, everybody that I have said the name Lance Hunter to starts giggling the second I do.
Because it's funny.
So it's not just me who thinks that it sounds filthy.
So her hand is cut off with the object in it. And it's just so the Creole can take the object without touching it. But he ends up touching it anyway because he transforms his hand into a freaking rubber thing. No condom jokes here, but he's like...
He had to use protection.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
So Lucy Lawless is in the car. She's dead.
I think she's going to be all right.
I hope so.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay. So I've been Googling while this is going on. So we all like the theory that the Kree have something to do with all this, right? Especially right. Now that they've been introduced in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Well, there is something called a Kree Gravity Stone that is what gave Moonstone her powers in the comics. I'm still trying to figure out what the Kree Gravity Stone does other than give Carla Sofin the powers of flight. But if we go by the whole, those symbols are something to do with Kree, and therefore this thing is also Kree in origin, maybe we'll end up getting Moonstone at some point.
Maybe. Well, did you see the Simpsons episode with Lucy Lawless? And at the end, she's flying with Bart and Lisa, and they're like, Xena can't fly. And she says, I told you, I'm not Xena, I'm Lucy Lawless. Okay. So she's just going to use her ability to fly again.
Okay. So I texted our pal Groot and I said, is Agent Hurtley dead? And his response, I am Groot. So there you have it.
How dare you, Groot?
Spoilers.
Okay. So when they were making the exchange at the beginning, did anybody else notice the safety first banner in the background?
Yes. Also, now we know where that Hydra sign was from.
1945.
Yeah.
Makes more sense that they would have a big giant Hydra logo.
Instead of now when it's just gauche.
Yeah, because you have to announce even back then where Hydra is for the local population.
You know, details, man.
Also, just like speaking
you would have a bunch of German soldiers standing around speaking in English together. Because that makes sense.
They didn't have the budget to hire translators and voice coaches for this episode, I guess.
I did hear a Mock Schnell in there, though.
No. I know. My roommate in college spoke German, and whenever we'd watch a World War II movie or something like Das Boot or whatever, he would actually translate for me. It got old real quick.
Sometimes it's funny, because the stuff that they say, you're like, that is not what they're saying at all.
Yeah, and I forgot to text him to ask him, and I don't even know if he watches the show or not. But I was like, okay, what do they say to the background? So that would be cool. If anybody knows German, I know some people that listen to this podcast know German. If you know German, please tell me what they were saying back in Austria in 1945, because that will be amazing.
Mock Schnell is the only line of actual German Stanley ever put in the comics.
Speaking of mock German, again, I mentioned that person that I used to follow on Facebook who was an extra on Avengers. I was reading, I forget if it was her or somebody that she linked to who was also an extra in that scene where it's where Loki comes in and steals the stone in Germany. But the extras apparently at some point started trying to get themselves more in character by screaming German. None of them knew German, so they started screaming things like Wiener Schnitzel! If you look on Tumblr, I'm sure you can find the account somewhere.
That's funny.
They were told to stop.
So Coulson has a very interesting dilemma he's got to do during this episode. He has to decide whether he wants to stand up and fight or whether he wants to continue sneaking around in the shadows, basically. And he decides not to go dark at the end. And he realized...
Well, no, the decision was whether he was going to get his people out or risk them to finish the mission.
But there was more than that. I mean, he knew what the mission was at stake. So he knew if he got the people out, he was playing it safe. And he decided that he couldn't play safe with what remained of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, especially with so much Hydra out there.
He looked at his WWFD wristband and, you know, he made his decision.
Yeah, they got the little box. It'll be interesting to see what the little toolbox turns into. I mean, what...
I know. I want to know what else is in there.
Optimus Prime. It's a transformer.
It could be. Or it could be like the command matrix, too. Or whatever that is. The leadership matrix. The ASPARC or whatever.
The what?
the spark, you know, the ass.
Oh. did you seriously just call it the ass spark?
Not the ass. No, the ass. Never mind.
Okay. I have no idea
you
what's
ladies
going
have
on,
dirty though. Minds.
Yes, we do.
Well, yeah.
But all you're spark.
The one that said ass spark.
It's the all spark. There it is.
Right, but that is not what you said.
There was a P
don't
in
put
there.
This
ass
on us.
Spark. There was a P.
How was that all though? Like,
I had a Fitz moment. Leave me alone.
Oh, God.
I think you had a wing moment. That's what you had.
All right, fine. All right, we actually see Mac a couple of times. He looks like an upstanding dude, and he's fixing the plane and everything else that comes into, which we might see flying or we might not. I don't know. Do you think they're going to transfer the cloaking technology from the Quinjet into the big bus, or do you think they're just going to leave the bus in the hangar?
Well, I think probably the idea was that if they've got one, the guys they have can copy it, like Mac and Billy.
Okay.
Can copy it, and they don't have to depend on Fitz to recreate it from scratch.
Yeah. And now they have two.
That's going to be hard. So what do you think they're going to have Fitz working on?
Well, I think Fitz is going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
They're driving him down the supervillain path. Don't do that.
I could see Coulson stepping in and giving a pep talk of kind of like, we needed to move forward. This is the way we're moving forward. I need you to work on this next or something like that.
No, what's going to happen is
giving him busy work.
What's going to happen is like, this is going to happen. And then they're going to have to pull Ward out of his cage to help with the mission. And
then
he's
Fitz is going to like fire a laser at him, and there will be a horrible lab accident, and then Fitz will be the bad guy. They're going to have to fight.
I know. Dylan's going to be the big bad for the season, and then at the end, Simmons is going to redeem him
with a power of love, like season 6 of Buffy.
Okay, it's going to be hard for me to watch that, but okay, because my heart is just torn for the guy. He's really,
oh my god, Ian you have
is
no
just,
idea.
Yeah. So
like, seriously, this is so hard.
Okay,
oh god,
so,
I'm tearing up again.
So really quick, we're going to talk about something else. Ward is trying to tell Skye about her father, and he gets
How
shut
much
down.
Did he actually know though?
Ward is a lying liar who lies.
He talked to Raina about her parents for 10 minutes, but I don't think he had any deep knowledge of her father.
I think he's just trying to manipulate her.
Well, like, yeah, me.
He's
too.
Like the serious, serious bad ex-boyfriend. And
see,
I think
if he really wanted
all bad ex-boyfriend tactics,
if he really wanted to be able to kill himself, he totally could. And I think all of this is just to try and get some pity from her.
I agree.
And I agree. You should have run faster.
Yep. I have no pity for the guy.
That was hardcore. I mean, good going, Skye.
She's got her hate foo going strong.
She does.
Now, Brett, awesome.
Yeah, good job on being just really creepy and unsettling. Seriously, he was so creepy there. The weirdly calm.
Yeah, the beard.
Plus the beard 5 creep evil. Factor from his beard of evil.
There you go. He's, it was weird to see him die. I'm like, Fitz was uncomfortable to watch because he just felt something. Because
it just tore at your heartstrings.
Yeah. Ward, you're like, all right, you've been on the crazy bus a little bit too much, dude. So there you go.
I feel like you can tell that he's enjoying playing a
Yeah,
back.
I know. He's settled into it.
Yeah, because he's got more to do than he did when he was the good guy.
He has a lot more to do, and I'm glad for that because he was a boring good guy.
You guys think we're going to get to the shoot the dog moment at all in the rest of the series, or you think they put that to bed and they don't want to revisit it?
I think it's going to come back to that at some point. Like, he's going to say, oh, I didn't do it or whatever, or oh, I did. I don't know. I don't trust anything Ward says at this point.
Me either.
You shouldn't, even though he's telling the truth.
Hey, what is it that they always say whenever you read or watch anything that has to do with devils and demons and stuff? It's like, I don't know. There's some saying about devils, demons, truth, lies, something like that. It's like, devil always lies unless the truth hurts more. Mm. And let's face it, seeing how many Hydra people are out there definitely hurt.
Yeah, seeing all those red dots. And it was interesting because I slow-mo'd that scene. So I'm like, are there more red dots pumping up? No, but they're flashing, right? So it makes it look like the map is moving and there's more and more and more. But there's a lot, don't get me wrong, but they weren't growing. It was just a map of everything that they knew out there from the pings and the echoes and stuff like that. One thing that we glanced over was the neat trick they did on Talbot to get his fingerprints.
Yeah, well played.
That was good.
They're like Batman. They're Batmaning Talbot the whole entire time. They're 10 steps ahead of the guy.
I'm sorry. They are Natasha Romanoffing.
They are.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, no, if they were Romanoffing him, they would have been the ones in the chair.
That's true.
But no, S.H.I.E.L.D. is Talbot's new Hulk.
That's true.
Awesome. All right. So question for you guys out there in listener land. There were two license plates that were shown to us, both Virginia plates on the SUVs. One was XFT, that's X-Ray Foxtrot Tango 5200. And the other was 543-0FI or 0 Foxtrot India. So if you guys know of any relations of the alphanumerics to anything, please let us know, because we looked for it for a little bit and we couldn't find anything, and we thought we'd throw it out there for you to answer. So if you guys know, let us know. I noticed that Vault D was where Ward was kept. Does that mean anything to you ladies?
No.
Okay.
But I did notice that the symbol that was painted on there, was it just me or did it look like the SSR symbol?
I think it was. I think this is supposed to be like a really old bunker.
Okay.
That would make sense. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't have an unlimited budget. Although, when you take a look at all these big screens that they have on all their op centers, those aren't cheap. So
Fury's been siphoning some money over into his secret bases.
I'm sure he has been. Oh, and Lauren, You were right. We were right. Somebody was right. The phone.
We were all right. Last week, we were looking at the pictures that Marvel released of the episodes that were supposed to be out, well, this episode, and we were like, well, what's he reaching for? Oh, he might be reaching for a phone. And SP said, well, he's not supposed to have a phone. Yeah, he's not supposed to put anything in there. Well, he was not supposed to have anything in there. Trip put it in there for him.
But didn't he get his phone out of the other side pocket?
It was his pants pocket.
Okay.
And he was using it like a walkie-talkie. I've never used my phone like that, like a walkie-talkie, but I guess
some
people do.
There's an app you can get that turns your phone into a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, there you go. All right, do you ladies have anything else for the episode?
In the same scene, you see Crusher take the chain and the ball off of, you know, whatever that barricade. Yes. That's an iconic thing for him because he has a ball and chain that he uses as a weapon a lot of the time. It was fantastic. And then when he gets in the car and May says hi again, I laughed out loud.
That was wonderful. May was just fantastic this episode.
She's always fantastic.
But just this episode where she's, I don't know, she's the one who's got everything together. She's keeping everybody under control. She's making sure everything goes great. I want to be her when I grow up.
Me too.
Training Sky, the whole thing. Yeah, you take her out of the cockpit and all of a sudden she opens up. Her capabilities are just immense and they open up. And if she's just driving the bus, it's just, she's driving the bus. So
the best thing to ever happen to her was the plane getting destroyed.
I kind of have to agree. I like the bus, but yeah.
And they're still using the bus. I mean, the table that Sky was sitting on with all this crazy scribbles that are from Garrett.
Well, yeah, because it's got super tech in it.
Right. But the table had the Garrett, quote unquote, Garrett etchings on it. Yeah, I think it was Coulson's etchings, but that's just me. Anyway, she's laying on the table and just trying to absorb it in. It was very prophetic, I thought. And they used the interrogation room. And I think it was funny because Coulson's office...
The honeycomb room of death or whatever he called it.
Right. The honeycomb interrogation room of death. But Coulson's office in the building was very similar to where his office was in the plane. Up, you have to go upstairs and you have to... It's tucked away higher than everything else. And anyway, I noticed. Are we out or do you ladies have some other stuff?
My last note that I'd mention is when they were all scanning their badges to get into the building.
Yes.
Everyone was like, Agent Sky, Agent Hartley, whatever. But Lance Hunter, it just said Lance Hunter. So he is not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, he is not.
He's not cool enough.
Did you catch the brand of beer he was drinking?
No.
I didn't either. So if anybody caught that, let us know. Go to the forums and let us know that there. That'd be great. I am wearing my badge right now. I do have access to be here.
Mine is hanging on my computer. I feel that's good enough.
Mine's sitting right over there. Yeah. Look where I'm pointing.
I think your wall of awesomeness kind of speaks for your badge.
You want to see my badge? There's my badge.
Just go to Facebook. You'll see it. Yeah. All right. So join us next week. We're going to be talking the second episode of the season, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 2, Episode 2, Heavy is the Head. And remember, there is no breaks. We are going to be going nonstop through to the holidays between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. Do we have a premiere date of Agent Carter yet, by the way? I haven't.
No idea.
Yeah, okay.
Now, it'll depend on exactly how many S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes they run.
True. Okay. So, and we don't know how much of a break they're actually going to take off during the holidays, but since they're not Doctor Who, they probably won't be over the 2 weeks or 3 weeks vacation. So you could find us at our website, legendsofshield.com. That'll take you straight to our page on the Gunna Geek Network. Also, our voicemail line, 1-844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. On Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, just search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You will find us. And the forums are at forums.gunnageek.com. You can also search one word, Gunna Geek, on the Tapatalk app on your smartphone and bring you there. Also on my Surface RT tablet, I found it too. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you for being with us during the off season. We're really excited to get this season going for both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. Bring us your answers to the questions. Talk about the license plates. Talk about the German in the episode, if you know any German. Again, I'll reiterate, top five Marvel characters, your science of Marvel questions, why Wing is wrong. That's very important. What you'd like to see as the untitled 2018 Fox-produced Marvel-based comic movie, and what kind of sport did Agent Coulson play in high school? So all of that is fair game, so give us your feedback.
And for the t-shirt giveaway, what would Fitz do with the monkey?
Yes, very important. Which, by the way, apparently on Marvel.com, there's a preview of a comic of S.H.I.E.L.D. number one that has Fitz and his monkey AI Henry. Yeah. So.
Oh, Henry
now. It's adorable. Henry, yes. It's adorable.
All right. Well, we want to thank all of our listeners. Thank you, Adam, for your voicemail this week, and Willie Nelson for the voicemails you've sent in for the last few weeks, and your DVD is on the way.
And thank you to Op and Mr. Pericletes for your tweets. We look forward to seeing whenever y'all tweet us, and keep them coming. Always makes our day a little brighter.
Yeah, we love hearing from you guys.
We do. You make us goal. So until next week, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.